In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Our Lady, the divine indwelling, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on page 4, volume 13, 12-5-1921. Your family is the Trinity. This is very important that we understand that our family is not our blood family. We're very close to our blood family, but that's not the family that Jesus wants us to be part of completely. I mean, we love them. God has given them to us. But our true family, Jesus says, is the family of the Holy Trinity. We have to be part of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With Our Lady as our mother and queen, and Luis as the little newborn. So he says this. Don't you remember when in the first years of your bed, Jesus says, I took you to heaven, and before the Sacrosanct Trinity, we celebrated our union. So what Jesus is asking of us is that we do this, that we stand before the Sacrosanct Trinity, and we celebrate our union with God. This is the mystical marriage. This is the first marriage that God wants with us. God wants us to be His bride. Jesus will marry us collectively, but Jesus wants to marry us individually. And He needs us to allow Him to be our spouse. Jesus says, And the Trinity endowed you with such gifts that you yourself have not yet known them. And as I speak to you, Luisa, and as Jesus speaks to us through Luisa, of my divine will, the effects and the value, the gifts with which from that time you were endowed with will now be uncovered. So the Lord wants us to begin to understand that we are married to Him. We belong to Him. And this is why it's so important that it's not a God that's 1,000,000,000 miles away that we pray, please, 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 please. This is how most of us pray. Please, 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 please. We're going the next day. Please, 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 the next day. Please, please. That's not how Jesus wants us to pray. Jesus says to us, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. Mary says to Luisa, I'm going to teach you such powerful prayers that it commands God. Now that might sound strange, but that's what the priest does every day at Holy Mass. He says, this is my body, and God obeys. When the priest says to us, I absolve you from all your sin, God obeys. That just shows you the humility of God. God wants us to pray with confidence. That's why it says in Sacred Scripture, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, yes. That's why when we learn the command prayer is so powerful. It's not, please, 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 please. I mean, that must annoy God to no end. What does He say to the woman who touches the tassel of His cloak? I mean, that's the tillet, on the tillet, the prayer shawl, the four corners are called hems, they're called tassels, they're called the hem of the tillet. So what happens is, she says, if I only touch the hem, I will be healed. That's in Leviticus. Leviticus says that the Messiah will heal from the hem of His garment. So what does she do? She touches the hem. And Jesus turns around and said, who did this? Why? He realized somebody believed in Him. And what does He say to the woman? He says that your faith has healed you. Your faith in what? That Jesus is our Lord. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. When you go to Holy Communion, that 15 minutes after Holy Communion is the most precious time of the day, where you adore Him and love Him and praise Him and thank Him and bless Him and worship Him. I don't care if the whole parish is talking, you enter into silence. That's what Our Lady did. She treasured all these things in the silence of her heart. You know, be with Jesus. Be in communion with Him. And this is what he's saying. I am going to speak to you, he says, because you don't know yet what I have given to you. You're going to know the effects, the values of these gifts, which you were endowed with. See, Jesus gave us this gift from the beginning of time. He expects, that's why he says, you're my most special children, my most precious children. We are going to do things that the saints didn't even dream about. Why? They did not have Louisa. We have Louisa. Everything that God has given to Louisa, what he says to her, he says to us. So we say to Jesus, Jesus, I want this gift of the divine will. I want all the effects. I want all the value. I want to be endowed with this gift. I want you to uncover them before my eyes so I can see them and believe in them. Do you see how our prayer life is different? We ask with total confidence, total trust in God. Jesus says, I do not speak to you of my diary because what is mine is yours. See, that the saints talked about the dowry. He says, what is mine is yours. What does that mean? What is mine is yours. What is Jesus's? It's everything. It's everything. It's oneness with the Father. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what God's going to do. Then after a few days, we, all three divine persons descended from heaven, took possession of your heart. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. We pray that. Jesus, I can't wait for you to descend from heaven. I can't wait for you to possess my heart. But you got to prepare for this. The prayer, the pictures of Louisa with her eyes open in her bed, as she's in ecstasy for 2 hours after receiving Holy Communion. But she prayed 2 hours before that. So, and then with the hour of Holy Mass, it's 5 hours of preparation and thanking God and praising God and loving God and glorifying God. How do we go to Holy Communion? Are we there late for Mass? Well, I finally made it. And then leaving, and then no prayer? Jesus says to Louisa, when the divine will reigns, watch the power that's going to come from the Holy Eucharist to those who live in the divine will. It's a new beginning. It's never been seen by any of the saints. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying very, very clearly, I want to descend from heaven. I want to take possession of your heart. He says, I want to form our perpetual dwelling within you. Do you know what that means? There's nothing to complain about when that happens. There's nothing to worry about when that happens. There's nothing to beg God for when that happens. Whatever is God's is ours. That's what he says. This is his promise. We took the reins of your intelligence, your intellect. We took the reins of your heart. We took the reins of all of you. And everything you did was an outpouring of our creative will all over you, and a confirmation that your human will was animated by the eternal will of God. Do you see what God is asking us to do? It's to begin to live a life that the saints couldn't even dream of. And he's saying to us, I want you to begin to live this life. Where is the worry? There isn't any. Where's the pleading with God? There isn't any. It's all fiat, fiat, fiat. Volume 14, 7, 14, 19, 22. This is the reason for so many graces. This is the reason for so many manifestations about my divine will. It is the sanctity of my most holy divine will that demands it. And therefore, being placed in the soul, it has to be known. It has to be loved. It has to be revered. That it can be able to carry out in you, Louisa, and in us, linked to Louisa, all of its divine virtue, all of its divine power, and being surrounded by the cortege of our own divine graces. This is heaven. This is heaven. So everything that I, God, do to you, Louisa, is nothing other than equipping and adoring the dwelling for my most holy divine will. God dwells with you. I mean, it's not to be separated from God at all. It's to be in God's image and likeness. Again, that's not holy. That's not good. That's not saintly. It's divine. And that's why he says to us, you know, give up the holy, give up the saintly, give up the good. Why? It's not enough for God. God wants us to share in his divinity. So again, when you're praying, you know, the prayers of the saints are beautiful. But one of the things that we have is the Echo Book. This is all the prayers that Louisa prayed in the 36 volumes. It's all the prayers. When you pray this way, it's not pleading with God. It's letting God be God. It's way, way beyond what the saints have taught us. Why? Because they did not have Louisa. What Jesus is teaching us, what Mary is teaching us, is what they gave to Louisa. Louisa is the firstborn. Louisa is the newborn of the divine will. And what does St. Padre Pio say? St. Padre Pio says, Louisa is a second son. As the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up in the east. No more darkness. That's what's coming. And for those that are linked to Louisa, that's what happens in their own life. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. And it's really getting to the point of no more sin. Again, nobody possesses it fully yet. The first one who will possess it fully will be the Holy Father. Why? Adam and Eve, a man and a woman for the creation. Adam and Eve, the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, for redemption. A third Adam and Eve for sanctification. It's Louisa, and you read that in volume 26. Yeah, volume 26, the first day. Yeah, volume 26, the first day. She said, go out into the garden. She went out into the garden. Jesus says, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And you, Louisa, are the third Eve. If there's a third Eve, there must be a third Adam. Who is the third Adam? It's the man with the keys to the kingdom. The vicar of Christ on earth. Why do you think everything's happening in the Vatican? The devil does not want this to happen. We are totally confident, completely confident, that the third Adam will be the Holy Father. And what does Louisa say in the three appeals? You, Holy Father, must be the first one to possess this gift. You must have the fullness of this gift next to me. That's what Louisa says. What happens at that point? The Holy Father, he said in volume 15, Jesus said to Louisa, you, Louisa, I give you this gift so that you can give it back to the man. Who's the man? It's the Pope. This is why don't criticize what's going on. Don't be negative. It's not to be standing there and it's basically to stand there with the foot of the cross like Our Lady did. It's tough. But we're filled with confidence. Once he's given this gift, he is going to unlock the door of the kingdom. He's going to open the door of the kingdom, and there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will possess the universal life. There's not many religions. There's one religion. I mean, yesterday, Cardinal Newman became a saint. What did he say? Why did you become a Catholic? He said, it's the only faith that said we are the true religion. That's why I became Catholic. How simple. This is the true religion. This is the universal life that God breathed into Adam. Jesus had to come to earth. Mary had to come to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To give us the Catholic life, the universal life again. And the devil knows his time is over. The devil knows He's going to try to destroy the church. And that's why Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That's a promise from Jesus. What does that mean? Full attack. Full frontal attack. Inside and outside of the church. But it's not going to prevail. See, our trust is in Jesus. Our confidence is in Jesus. And that's why he says, be Catholic, faithful and obedient, and pray for all your brothers and sisters. And that's what he says to us. I'm going to give you, in this worst of times, I'm going to give you the means to get through this. There's been no teaching of the faith for 50 years. I mean, the children today, the hippies of the 60s are now the grandparents. They have nothing to give to their kids. Their kids had nothing to give to the grandkids. The grandparents have nothing to give to the grandchildren. This is the worst of times. So what does Jesus do? Jesus gives us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta, and the divine will. This is what's going to get us through. You read the 36 volumes and you become Catholic. You fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. You fall more in love with the Holy Catholic Church. And that's why we pray this. We pray. He says, let your perpetual dwelling reign in us. Take the reins of our intelligence. Take the reins of our hearts. Pour into us this great gift. In everything that you did is an outpouring of our creative power, or our divine will, over your confirmation of your human will that was animated by the divine will. This is the reason for so many graces, and that's in your life. You have not come to this point without your sufferings. The worst thing that you've gone through brought you here. Jesus allowed it to happen. And you can blame God all you want, but you wouldn't be here if you didn't go through it. You can be angry with God all you want, but you would not be here if you didn't go through what you had to go through. And in heaven, they say, the saints tell us this, you're going to thank God for every suffering that you've gone through. You're going to thank God and praise God and glorify God for all eternity, because you knew that without those sufferings, you would end up in hell. We're terrible people. We're not. The only thing we're good at is sinning. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. So as you read this, as you study this, this is what's happening. He says, the sanctity of my divine will demands it, and therefore being placed, before being placed in the soul, this divine will needs to be known, needs to be loved, needs to be revered, that it may be carried out in all of its divine virtue, divine power, surrounded by the cortege of our divine graces. Listen, everything you do is nothing other than equipping and adoring and dwelling, the dwelling for my divine will. It's been planned by God. Jesus, when we get to heaven, he's going to show us what suffering means. And all of us are going to say to God, let me go back to earth and suffer just a little bit more. And God's going to say, I already gave you the time to do that. See, we have to understand, if he is our Lord and Savior and Master and King, there's nothing to complain about. It's only to thank him and to praise him and to love him and to glorify him and to worship him. That's why you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Volume 14, 7, 14, 19, 22. The reason for so many graces, so many manifestations of our divine will, is the sanctity of my divine will that demands of it. And before being placed in the soul... Oh, I read that. Sometimes my eyes just go with the back to... It's good to read it over and over and over again. Volume 15, 12... 8, 19, 22, like waves, the reverberation of our divine sanctity, the reverberations of the divine manners, of our divine love, of our divine power, etc. I read this already, poured out upon the celestial queen. Oh my God, I'm way behind. as well as our divine will, which was her center. Okay. And all of our reverberations and of our divine qualities and making itself the crown of defense of the divine dwelling within the Blessed Mother. Okay, now listen to this. That's the image up here. Jesus is explaining everything about the Blessed Mother. Now listen. If the Immaculate Virgin Mary had not had the divine will as the center of her life, all the other and the privileges in with which we so enriched her would have been, in comparison, an absolute nothing. See, it's the divine will. Jesus is trying to teach us this. This is what confirmed and preserved the Blessed Mother for so many privileges. Even more, it multiplied new ones at each instant. There is no honor, there is no glory in which cannot be given to our divine will, whether acting within us in its own center or dwelling in the creature, in the Blessed Mother, and now in Louisa, and now in us. What a powerful magnet our divine will was, dwelling on earth in this newborn queen. No longer did the earth appear alien to us. No longer felt like striking at making use of our divine justice. We had the power of our divine will, which in this innocent child restrained our arms. This innocent child smiled at us from earth and turned justice into graces and a sweet smile. So much so that, unable to resist this sweet enchantment, the eternal word hastened his course. O prodigy of my divine will, to you everything is due. To you, through you, everything is accomplished. There is no greater prodigy than my divine will dwelling in the creature. Why are we worried? It's because we're not praying that the divine will reign in us. There's nothing to worry about. Listen to what he says. He says, prodigy, my divine will, in you everything is due. Through you everything is accomplished. There is no greater prodigy than my divine will dwelling in us. There's no greater thing. This is how Our Lady lived. This is how Jesus lived. They gave it to Louisa, and now Jesus is saying, do you want this? Our response is, I want this more than anything. Then Jesus says, prove it. How do we prove it to Jesus? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's how you prove it. I want to live the true life of Jesus. I want to live the true life of Mary. That's what God's waiting for. Vine 15:1-19:23. Now, my daughter, do you see this great void in which I created so many things? Yet the void of the soul is even greater. Now think about the universe. As far as you can see, nobody knows the end. He says the soul is greater than that. The soul is infinite, and God wants to reign in us. The former was also to serve as the dwelling place of man, the universe. The void of the soul was to serve the dwelling place of a God. Who's in charge? We are. Why are you not letting God be there? Because I want to worry. I want to be fearful. I want to be anxious. I want to be complaining. I want to be negative, because that's the human will. The human will cannot take the place of a God who's supposed to be dwelling there. We can't take that place. And you look at everything today. Nobody goes to church on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. As Catholics, we have to begin to live the Lord's Day. What does that mean? No shopping on Sunday. No games on Sunday. No sports, I should say. It's the Lord's Day. Why did Our Lady of La Salette weep? She wept bitter tears. She knew the justice of God was coming to mankind. Why? Because of two things. The men were swearing, and the men were not keeping holy the Sabbath. We're not talking about abortion. We're not talking about alternative lifestyles. Can you imagine that? Why Our Lady is now appearing, weeping tears of blood? So, as a Catholic, make Sunday your, give it back to the Lord. Make it the Lord's Day. I mean, really, let your whole family be angry with you. I mean, we can't go out and play golf today? No. This is the Lord's Day. We can't go shopping today? No. This is the Lord's Day. That's what it means to be Catholic. Keep holy the Sabbath is the first thing that we do as an outward sign, if you want to say. Going to Holy Mass as often as you can. Praying the Holy Rosary every day. Wearing the scapular. Going to confession. Using exercised holy water. Ringing exercised bells when the devil's around. And you know the devil's around. The exorcist said in the 50s it would take a day of prayer to get rid of the demons. Now it takes years. Again, let's become Catholic. Use the sacraments. Use the sacramentals. Make sure your door, you greet people with the cross, Christ crucified. Make sure you have St. Michael. Make sure you have St. George, who slays the dragon. Make sure you have St. Benedict, who pushes the demons away. Use the saints. Call on the saints. Say the St. Michael prayer every day. When you go to sleep at night, make a good act of contrition. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Be Catholic again. When somebody uses the Lord's name in vain, you don't have to give them the evil eye. You can say to them, please don't offend me. You're offending me by using the Lord's name in vain. I mean, try to not offend a Muslim. Try not to offend a homosexual. Try not to offend everybody else. You say, this is offensive. Please don't do that. And when it comes to happens again, because it's a habit, you say, please don't do this. This is offensive. It's offending me. I mean, speak up as a Catholic. That's not negative. You're keeping holy the name of the Lord. It's wonderful to be Catholic. I mean, listen to what St. John Newman said. He said, I became Catholic because the Catholic Church has said it's the only true faith, only true religion. Speak the truth. Why do you go to Mass on Sunday? I love Jesus. Why are you going to confession? I got to confess my sins. Why do you pray the rosary? I love Our Lady. I mean, speak the truth. Become Catholic. This is what's so important. And most especially, obey Humanae Vitae. I mean, really. Jesus says, okay, here it is. I was not to pronounce my fiat for 6 days, as in creating the universe, but for as many days as the life of man contains. So many times, for so many, as putting his own human will aside, he would let mine operate. Therefore, since my fiat was to do more things than it did in creation, more space was needed. But do you know who gives me the free field in order to fill this great void of the soul? It is Louisa. And the soul is linked to Louisa. Louisa is the one who lives in my divine will. And these souls want to live in my divine will like Louisa. So again, what happens is you enter into joy. You enter into happiness. I mean, even when you're at Mass, and after Mass, everybody's talking and, you know, fellowshipping. It's a time of silence. You don't, again, give them the evil eye. It's like you say, Jesus, thank you for showing me this. I'm sorry it's happening to you, and I want to repair this. Be joy-filled. Then you hear somebody screaming and laughing. For every joy, for every laughter, I praise you, and I love you, and I bless you, and I thank you. You hear people, you know, pounding a drum maybe. For every time anybody ever beat a drum, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. See, remember St. Teresa? She would wash dishes, and the nun next to her would splash her, and she'd say, Jesus, tell her not to disturb me. She's getting in my way. You know, this is a distraction. I can't focus on you. And Jesus said, it pleases me that she distracts you. So she would lean closer to the nun, so she'd spray her more. You know, I've got to get my prayers done. Stop it. No, it's thank you. The dog barking out there, Lord, for every dog that ever barked, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. For every siren that goes by, Lord, for every person that has ever been hurt, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. Bring healing to the world. See, Jesus wants to pray in you. He will distract you continuously. Why? Just like he said to Louisa, it pleases me that you're distracted. Why? It's not your prayer. It's my prayer. The birds that tweet, the planes that fly over, the trains that go by. Lord, you're asking me to pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell me what more I should do. Tell me how to, show me how to pray. I got to get my prayers in. Get out of my way. So I got to get my rosary in right now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou. I got my prayer done. It's a pain. What the heck? Jesus is filled with joy, filled with happiness, and he wants to distract us. He wants to distract us. Hey, how many times have you ever held a baby in your arms and you just blow in his face and it goes, why do you do that? Jesus loves to play with us. Let Jesus play with us. I mean, he really wants to amuse himself, as he says with Louisa, with us. Again, he loves us so much. Okay, now I got to find where I have to usually put my thumb there. Do you know where we are? So I don't read everything over again. Couldn't hear you. 15:2, 16:23. 5:25. Okay, whereabouts? Right at the top. Okay, to the ones. Close. Okay. Oh Lord. Okay. Beloved daughter of our supreme will, this whole machine. Okay. Beloved daughter of our supreme will, see this whole machine of the universe, the heavens, the sun, the seas, and all the rest. It was created by us, he says, to give it as a gift. So everything out there, now this is what Jesus wants you to do. Who saw the moon this morning? Who didn't see the moon? No. Okay. When I saw the moon, I did what Jesus said to Louisa. That belongs to me. Thank you, Jesus. And I give it back to you, Lord Jesus, of the divine will. You see, everything in creation, this is what he says. See the whole machine of the universe, the heavens, the sun, the sea, and others? It was created by us to give you this as a gift. So in creation, look at the trees, look at the oceans, look at the animals, the plants, the vegetables, the minerals. God gave us this. Why? So that we can give it back to him in the divine will. You breathe in the Ruach of God. You breathe out the Ruach of God back to God. He says, I love you. And you say, I love you. And I love you. And I love you. That's what the divine will is. It's love. To the ones who would do our divine will. This is created for us. St. Francis had a glimpse of it. Sun and moon, my brother and sister. Daniel had a taste of it. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. Now it's not just to bless you and as my brother and sister, but it's mine. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to give back to you what is yours in a divine manner. That's giving to God what belongs to God. From a divine perspective. Who does this? The souls linked to Louisa who do our divine will. Everything was given to them as to our legitimate children. You see, this is more than what God gave to the saints. You have to understand this. The saints did the will of God. To live in the will of God, Jesus lived, Mary lived, and the firstborn also received it, Louisa. That's what God, he put her in bed for 64 years. The Archbishop says 70. Why? To teach her this gift. And now we have the book of heaven. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, it is a new beginning that's coming. He says, we did this for the decorum of our divine works, depositing them and giving them as a gift, not to foreign people or to illegitimate children who do not understand the great goods contained in them, nor appreciate the greatness and the sanctity of our works. On the contrary, they would waste them and despise them. On the other hand, by giving them to our legitimate children, that's another title God gives to us, little children of the holy divine will. Since in each created thing there is a distinct love and a special good for the soul to whom the gift is directed, our divine will dwelling in them, our divine will forming its very life in them, that would make them comprehend all of these loves, one distinct from the other, which are present in the whole of creation, as well as all the specialties of all goods. It's a sharing in divinity. So they would give back to us the requital for each distinct love, each distinct glory, each distinct honor, for all the goods given to them. Everything belongs to us. And now we give it back to God with a divine thanking in his divine will. Our divine will, which had created them with one fiat, and which knew all the secrets, dwelling in our legitimate children, with another fiat, would reveal our divine secrets contained in all created things. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Which would make them give back to us for our love. The harmonies, the communications would be reciprocal between them and us. And even though it seemed that those who do not do our divine will enjoy and take part in them, this is the saints, yet the gifts are not theirs. It is as indirect cause, as usurpers, and as illegitimate children. Look at your family. Look at your friends. They don't understand the joy and the happiness of living in the divine will. We're striving for that. More so, since in my divine will does not dwell in them, they understand nothing or very little of my love, which all creation brings to them, and of all the goods present in the divine will. And even more, many don't even know who created so many things. They are true foreign people who, while living of the things that belong to me, don't even want to recognize me. We want to recognize God. We want to see God. Do you pray that? Do you pray to see Jesus? Do you pray to see the Blessed Mother? I mean, is it even part of your prayer? Do we say, I want to see you, God, and live? Scripture says no man can see God and live. Jesus says, I want to be seen and I want you to live. I mean, enter into this personal relationship with Jesus, intimate relationship with Jesus. Volume 16, 10, 16, 19, 23. Nothing enters into heaven to live common life with us. Nothing. If not completely divinized, if not completely transformed into God. Participate in God. When the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice every day, he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That drop of water is nothing. As it hits the water, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. Nothing enters into heaven to live in common life with us if not completely divinized and transformed into God. Every worry, every fear, every anxiety, every complaint, every negativity, every sin, you have to be purged of before you go into heaven. Like I said, my friend, good girl, nice person, filled with misery. And I said to her, you know, you're going to be a saint in heaven someday, but you're going to spend a long time in purgatory. You got to stop this. Nor can my divine will descend upon earth and carry out its life within our own center if it does not find the human will emptied of everything. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. So as God to fill it with all the goods which my divine will contains. God wants to fill us to overflowing. He promises us this. It shall be nothing other than a most thin veil which can serve me to cover myself to dwell inside of it, almost like a consecrated host in which I, God, form my life. And I, God, do all the good that I, God, want. And I, God, pray in that soul. I, God, suffer in that soul. I, God, enjoy in that soul. This is why this thin veil is over Our Lady. God dwells there. The host does not oppose. The host leaves me free. Its office is to be there to keep me hidden and to comply in mute silence to preserve my sacramental life. It is the point where we are at. Your human will entering heaven and my divine will descending upon earth. Therefore, your human will must no longer have life. Your human will must have no reason to exist. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. No, you're not. Jesus is in charge. See, you see what Jesus is doing? He's freeing us from ourselves. 5:16, 5:11, 5:23. You do not want to understand what's the sanctity of living under the divine will is a sanctity completely different from all the other sanctities of the saints. Except for the crosses, the mortifications, the necessary acts of life which, done in my divine will, embellish the soul more, there is nothing other than the life of the blessed in heaven, who, because they live in my divine will, by virtue of the divine will, have me within each one of them, as if I, God, were for each person alone, one alone, alive and real, not mystically, but really dwelling within them. To see, when we receive the host, we receive the real presence of Jesus in a mystical way. What's coming is the perennial communion of God, where He lives in us in a real dwelling way. He gazes in our gazing. He listens in our listening. He speaks in our speaking. He walks in our walking. He dances in our dancing. That's what God wants. He doesn't want to be separated from us, and our human will keeps us separated. 5:17, 4:23, 19:25. So, once the divine will is established in the human will of the creature, the soul is the I. Look at Our Lady, the divine indwelling. The soul is the hearing, the mouth, the hands, the feet of my divine will. She never departs from the origin from which she came. Therefore, she remains always in my arms, and it is easy for her to feel my breath and for me to breathe upon her. Now, this is precisely what I, God, want from you. That you let my divine will reign in you. And that your human will may serve as the dwelling of God's most holy divine will. To let it deposit the celestial goods it contains within your soul. All the divine qualities of God in your soul. Nothing less than the divine qualities of God. Not human qualities. Divine qualities. See, that's why Jesus said, be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. How can this be? In the divine will. He's waited until now to show us how this is going to happen. This is why He calls us His most special children. His most precious children. Because he's teaching us now how to do this. Again, everything is at our disposal if we wish. Everything is ours if we wish. All that God asks is that we give our fiat. Volume 17, 5, 4, 1925. My holy humanity for the mission of the Redeemer, which enclosed the divinity, the Word, without ever separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit, manifested my celestial wisdom, adding the bond of rendering myself inseparable from my Mother Mary, and you, Louisa, inseparable from you also, because you have the mission of my divine will. As the Holy Spirit shall make a display of his love, manifesting to you, Louisa, the divine secrets, the divine prodigies of my divine will, the divine good it contains, and to make happy all those souls who will give themselves to knowing how much good this supreme divine will contains, to love the divine will, and to let the divine will reign in their midst. Do you see what God is saying? We are going to read about divine secrets, divine treasures, that are given only to Louisa. To let it reign in their midst, offering their souls, to let it dwell within their hearts, that they may be able to form its life in them, adding the bond of inseparability between you, Our Lady, and Jesus. So we'll end there, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And since I started late, we're going to have to end late. I mean, start early.